Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark. Rolled up to my
Chevrolet. I climbed up. Good morning, everybody. Doggone, it's a nice day. You know, it was a little chilly this morning, but I don't even need a jacket till it hits about 35. But I got up this morning and I was checking on the cows. And they're all huddled together, and we put a lot of straw out there, and they were kind of buried within the straw. The horses were laying together, and but really and truly, they can handle this weather because they were here long before we were, and they can make it. But aside from all of that, you should have seen them this morning. When they wake up, the sun is up, and you know, you lose 1 or 2 degrees, and sometimes you gain 1 or 2 degrees. They were really happy and really fun to watch, so I sat outside with a cup of coffee and watched them play and fight and stuff like that. Anyway, if you want to talk cars, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And here I have something that someone can help me with. Because my computer screen has like 6 programs open right now, I just don't dare go onto the internet again. But if someone would look up the BTU of propane and gasoline and call me, I have a comment about that. I think gasoline you're going to find is 114,000 BTUs. BTU is a speedometer, so to speak, of the available energy in a fuel. So look up propane for me and look up gasoline. We'll take unleaded. And then give me a call, 602-508-0960. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. Bob and Steve over at Quality Transmission is all you need. They do repairs on all kinds of automatic, standard transmission. They have years of experience on cars, trucks, motorhomes, 4x4. They're located in Tempe on McClintock Northrop University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. Just the other day, we had a customer who told me that they had a transmission problem, but the symptoms that they had could have been engine or transmission. So I said, look, this is the best economical way. Take it over to Quality. Have them drive it and ask them the question, is this engine or transmission? Lo and behold, they checked it out and they said, no, it is not transmission, which probably didn't make the husband too happy, but then what does he know? So the car comes to us and we put a mass airflow sensor on it and that fixed the problem. But that's the most difficult thing to do in today's cars, is diagnose it. And that's exactly the reason why when you come in and tell us you have a transmission problem, we don't believe you. That's why. Quality Transmission. I want to tell you a story. I was born and raised in Douglas, Arizona, in southern Arizona. My grandfather emigrated to the southern part of the state long before it was a state in the 1890s. He married a Mexican lady, therefore I am Mexican. So don't tell any Mexican jokes around me because I'll punch you. No, I'm just teasing you. So I was born and raised down there, and there were 7 of us in our family, 7 kids, and we had quite an experience, and I remember when there was no border fence. I remember when it was Aguaprieta and Douglas were the same. I remember back then when it was great. But anyway, there was a family back there called the Page family, and they were friends with virtually all of us 7 kids because they had kids in there. Dr. Page is in Tempe. Dr. Curtis Page, his son, is in Tempe. They both have a medical practice together. Dr. Page, Robert Page, He got his undergrad degree at ASU, and then he went to the university, the med school in Guadalajara. And while he was there, he said, you know what? There's lots of outstanding surgeons and doctors out of Guadalajara. From there, he went, he did his residency in Ohio. Now, his son Curtis went to Harvard Med School, and he did his residency in Emory. What they've done is something special, and I'm sharing it with you today because it is special. First of all, many of you have heartburn about going to Mexico. And I tell people when they ask me is I have none at all. I have none at all. I speak Spanish enough to either get me in trouble or get me out of trouble. But that's about it. They have personally gone down there and watched surgeons operate on people. They stand and they're in the operating room. They have identified surgeons for weight loss surgery, dental surgery, cosmetic surgery, orthopedic surgery. So it really doesn't matter if you need a knee replacement, if you are interested in cosmetic surgery like breast augmentation, facelifts, or mommy makeovers, if you need weight loss surgery, if you don't have any insurance or if you don't have adequate insurance, you'd be surprised to know that 10 million people have traveled abroad since the beginning of this decade for surgery and saved thousands and millions of dollars without sacrificing quality. And here's the real reason. It's because they've done the job. They have the doctor's home phone numbers. They have the doctor's cell phone numbers. And they have watched them do surgery. And they've checked to see if they're board certified. So if you're interested in just looking at perhaps going to either Mexico or South America, then go to medtogo.com. M-E-D-T-O-G-O.com. You have nothing to lose. And if I needed a knee, if I needed a hip, even though I'm fully insured, I would trust Dr. Page and his son Curtis, who's a doctor as well. I would trust them, and I probably would go to Mexico, because many of the Mexican doctors serve their residency here in the United States or even went to med school here in the United States. But what really strikes me as something so very special is they will help you get to where you're going. And not only that, is when you get on the airplane, you're going to be met by somebody who's bilingual, who will be your constant shadow the entire time you're there. You're going to be put in a 5-star hotel. Here's the difference. You're going to save between 50 and 80% just because of the costs in whatever surgery you have. And when you get to Mexico, I dare you, because I've been there and I've been in hospitals before, I dare you to close your eyes and open them and tell me it's not just exactly like you'd see here. It's not just exactly. If you plug your ears, you wouldn't know the difference. A bit, because everybody speaks Spanish. Medtogo.com. Okay, cars. Do we have anybody who's got BTU value from propane and gasoline? 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. A guy walks into the shop the other day, and he hands me two books. And for those of you that are old-time car guys, you're going to want to pay attention. I have a Dykes Automotive and Gasoline Engine Encyclopedia that's dated 1920 to 1924. It is a complete automotive book for all the cars that precede that year. Now, it shows that it was copyrighted, da-da-da-da-da, but on another page it says it's published by the Goodhart Wilcox Company in Chicago in 1924, and it's the 13th edition and the third run. But it was built by A.L. Dyke, an electrical engineer in St. Louis. And it elementary procedure principles, construction and operation and repair of all automobiles with gasoline engines, automotive electrical systems, including trucks, tractors, and motorcycles. 1924. Now, if you want it, here's how the deal works. You can bid at Mark Salem, or Mark at MarkSalem.com. Mark at MarkSalem.com. If you win the bid for this, and I'll send you a picture of it. If you win the bid for this, you're going to make a charitable donation for the book. The gentleman that gave me these books says, I don't want any money. Have them make a charitable donation to a church, to the homeless shelters, whatever. But you're going to make a donation for as much as you've been on. Now, I got something else, too, that this is really neat. A 1946 flat rate manual, labor manual, and service manual. Labor manual and service manual. Okay? So, do your math here. Okay? The labor time is 4.4 hours. And the amount of money based on this Buick LaSalle 350 V8, the amount of money is $24.30. So let's take 4 into 24. It's basically $6 an hour. $6 an hour. That is truly, truly amazing. And as you continue to go through all of this, you find stuff. And this book is something special because in my world, since the 50s, these books were separate. So you had a labor guide and you had a service manual, where this one is both. Not only does it tell you how long it should take you in labor if you wanted to charge for old cars, but it also tells you how to do it. So it's a service manual. And as I'm gonna thumb through here. 37 to 46 Oldsmobile, 37 to 46 Nash, 39 to, where'd that Lincoln go? 39 to 46 Mercury, 37 to 46 Lincoln, 37 to 46 Hudson, Fords galore, Dodges galore, DeSotos, 37 to 46. So it looks like that this covers 9 years of cars with respect to service and labor, 37 to 46. It has a section through the vacuum control valve of, and it has a complete side section of the power brake unit and the master cylinder. It has all the electrical diagrams. It shows you, it's much better than it is today because they actually show you what you're doing and they show you this, and the wiring diagrams are unbelievable. So, Chevrolets, Cadillac LaSalle, Willie's Jeep, Studebaker, Pontiac, let me see, Plymouth. This is the labor side now. Packard. But as I look through this, I see amazing stuff. I see 8 hours at $33. That's 8 times 4. That's $4 an hour for things that are labeled under M. So when you look under M, they show that. It's as cheap as $2 an hour, goes up to about $6 an hour, as near as I can figure. It's a wonderful book. I'll send you a picture of it if you want. 1937 or 39 to 46, flat rate manual and service manual all in one. And it's a Chilton manual. It says outside on the cover, motor age, flat rate, and service manual, 1946, published by Chilton Company. So everybody knows Chilton.
1 minute.
All righty, 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. I'm looking for the BTU of gasoline and propane because I have a comment about some of the stuff that was in the newspaper here recently. And if you'd like to join us, you can. This is simple, 602-508-0960. You need to get in early, though. Any kind of car question like, should I use E85? And what is E85 gasoline? And should I use premium in my BMW? And they want to sell me a really expensive oil change. And, Mark, I just drove by a place this morning. And the place said it had a 1988 oil change. What do you think about that? Well, you answer it. What do you think about that? I can tell you this much. 5 quarts of oil, a filter, and a technician cost more than $19. I can tell you that right now. I promise you. So what are they after? They're after the laundry list. They're going to go through your car with a fine-tooth comb and try to sell you something, and that's just to draw you in. As long as you know that, it's okay. Nothing illegal. We'll be back right after this.
It's playoff.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good.
And see, when he shakes his head and says, this ain't good, you just paid for a $19.88 oil change. Oh, man. There's nothing illegal about that. It's called a loss leader. Walmart does it. Target does it. I don't know if Nordstrom's does it. I'll have to ask my wife. But everybody does it. There's some of us that don't. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Thompson's Auto Repair and Towing. He's in Mesa. Family-owned and operated. He's been providing car care in the Mesa area since 1970. Him and his family. They've equipped to handle anything you need. Minor, major, foreign, domestic, truck, car. Thompson's understands that your vehicle is a major investment and they're going to care for each customer's vehicle as if it was their own. So Brian and Thelma at Thompson's Auto Repair, Main Street just east of Stapley and Mesa. If you don't have a good repair shop, bingo, they're the ones. Chuck, good morning to you. Chuck, how can I help you today?
Good, Mark. Real good, thanks.
Uh-huh.
Got a problem, and it's in my wife's car. It's a 90 Infiniti Q45, and it's got an interior short.
Okay.
So I had to take the fuse out because no one's able to find it.
Okay, well, that it's not fair to say no one. You just haven't found the right place.
Well, I've had it to lefties.
Okay, well, that doesn't mean that no one can find it.
Yeah.
Here's what has to happen. First of all, you either get out the wiring diagram for your Q45.
Or I got it.
If you look in the owner's manual.
Yep.
What all is on that fuse?
Everything in the interior.
Just no, there's about more than that.
Well, yeah, there is some other.
Yeah.
You mean under the dash?
No, I'm saying you look at your owner's manual.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be a diagram of your fuse panel, and you find the one that you've taken out that's eliminated the draw.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've got that.
How many different circuits are on that fuse other than the courtesy lights?
Oh, yeah. No, I know. There's quite a few because you can't move the seat. You can't, you know.
So that's what has to happen. Somebody has to disable one of those circuits at a time, and it's a process that's going to go on for a while. Or you can say to them, just fix it, but what they're going to do is they're going to be driving it for some time, and you're going to pay for that. So you should be involved in it.
Yeah.
So someone needs to isolate each circuit. So if let's just pretend that the courtesy lights and the seats are on the same circuit.
Right.
If that's the case, then I would unplug both seat motors.
Okay.
And I would unplug probably the switch that controls both seat motors. Or I would unplug them at the door. And I'd say, now you drive it for a while. And you'd say, oh, no, the short's still there. I'd plug it back in, and I'd go to the next thing.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to the next thing, and then I'd go to the next thing. So, and then there's also plenty of places that you're not privy to because you don't spend the thousands of dollars a month that the rest of us do, but we can call in and say, hey, 90Q45, we've got a short in the courtesy lights. And they'll say, the last 670 guys that called in about that, the majority of them said blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
So, but that's what's going to happen. That's what you're going to need, Chuck.
Okay. Hey, thanks, Mark.
Okay, good luck
to you, buddy.
Enjoy your show. You betcha. Bob, you're next. Bob, how can I help you?
Do you see many people install a pre-looper system in a diesel, like, say, in a Duramax diesel, so
No.
you don't have a dry start condition?
No.
No?
No, and to change the question, Mark, why don't you have a pre-lube in your Duramax? Because I don't need one, and neither do you. Everybody creates this scenario, and it's true. I'm going to first tell you it's true that you get accelerated wear when you start up first thing in the morning. I agree to that. But we got cars out there that are doing 300,000 and 400,000 and 500,000 miles right now. So what are you asking me for? It's not you. I don't mean you. And I don't mean to be rude either. It's like, okay, how long, if you're going to walk barefooted, how long before you go through the skin to the bone? You know what I mean? It's just no big deal. When you start your car up in the morning, the filter has a bypass valve in it. And if the pressure going in is 60 pounds and the pressure coming out is 10 to 15 pounds less, the filter will bypass. And when it bypasses, it's circulating dirty engine oil to the engine. But once the oil warms up, which is minutes and seconds later, then it will stop. So the uncirculated, unfiltered oil probably does as much as the dry start that lasts what? 4 seconds? Now, I don't know about other people, but I don't start it up and bring it up to 3,000 RPM. I mean, I just start it up and let it idle. But the pre-lubers are sold when gasoline gets really expensive, and I, in my opinion, there is a fake perception of my motor's going to love me, so it's never going to break down if I put a pre-luber in there. And that's just my thoughts. Now, there are cars out there that I probably would put a pre-luber in. For instance, a vintage tractor. Because of the way their systems are designed, their lubricating system designed, you could go 10 to 20 or 30 seconds with no oil. So if I had a vintage tractor from the 30s or the 40s and I wanted to either use it or drive it, I'd put a pre-luber in it. Does that all make sense?
Yes. They're making a problem that doesn't exist to sell something.
You said it better than I did. You said it better than I did. You know, if you want to see how much metal your engine's shedding, then you change the oil, and at 1,000 miles, you pull a little sample, you take it over to Empire Machine on Country Club in 60 or any lab in town. Then you do it at 2,000, then you do it at 3,000. But you have to do at least two because you have to compare number two to number one. And then when you ask them, you know, what kind of metal do I have? They would say, I remember one time they said to me, if I put all this metal in your eye, you wouldn't even know there's dirt in your eye. I said, okay, I understand. So that's the way I feel about it.
Thanks,
Mark. All righty, Bob. Thank you very much. Ken, you're up next, buddy. What can I do for you?
Yeah, hi, Mark. I'm calling about the new, I don't know if it's an additive, but it's for the diesels. I think it's called DEF. To help the emissions,
okay,
to be cleaner. Do you know anything about that?
Well, it's called urea.
Urea.
Yeah,
okay.
And it's in a separate container on some of the new diesels. It's an emission control liquid. We're going to meter urea into your engine to help control emissions. There's going to be a light that tells you when you're low. Urea can be $2 a gallon up to $6 a gallon. Your diesel won't run. It'll get you to the next place, but it's not going to let you go days and weeks without urea. It's going to take the throttle away from you. It's going to not let you start it. Now, urea, farmers will say, "Mark, urea, is that a fertilizer?" And I say, "Yeah." And they said, "I use urea on stuff to make it grow like steroids." And like when you go and get ammonia sulfate at the grocery store or at Lowe's or Home Depot, it'll say 1200, or it'll say 0012 is really, or one way, see, the top of the plant's the first number, the middle plant and the bottom of the plant's, I don't know, 40, urea is 4100. Instead of 12 and 13 and 14, it's 41.
1 minute.
And I use that in all my horse pastures. And I bleed that into my irrigation systems, and it makes my grass grow like steroids. But that's what we're using. Except it's just they won't tell us what concoction it's in, or we'd build our own urea. But I think you're talking about the newer model diesels that have a tank, 3, 4, 5 gallons, I think, that holds a specific liquid that helps in the vehicle emissions, right?
Right.
Okay, that's called urea. There are some of them that don't have it. Now, my son would know the answer, but I don't know the answer. But I think one of the vehicles, whether it's Dodge, Chevy, or Ford, I don't know, doesn't have it. Either that or they just got it the first year and the other guys have had it the last couple years. But there is a discrepancy on who has it and who doesn't. And for me, that would be a deal breaker. I certainly wouldn't want it if I didn't have to have it. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. If you have a car question, give me a call. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back.
Did you know Rain Tree Auto Repair?
Well, welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. We've got some callers, and we've got open lines right now, 602-508-0960, 508-0960. And, Jeremy, who have you got first?
First up, we got Tony.
Tony, good morning to you, buddy. How can I help you today?
Hey, thank you there, Mark. Look, I'm right there with you about watching the animals in this really crisp, cool morning, just bucking and kicking and having all kinds of fun. The kids get out there, they do the same thing, you know?
Yeah.
This is Arizona, and this is why we live here.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Now, you asked the question about the BTUs.
Yep.
Okay? I don't have my book in front of me. I can't get down to the exact, you know, on the graphs and stuff like that. But look, you're talking about combustible hydrocarbons.
Okay.
Okay? Now, we got solids, we got liquids, and then we got gases.
Okay.
Okay? You're talking about gasoline versus propane.
Yep.
So just by, you know, moving down that train of thought as far as charge density goes, we would have to assume the gasoline has more BTUs, British thermal units, than propane.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna let you go from there.
Okay, here's what bugs me. Okay, and we can put natural gas in there as well. We have done some extensive dynamometer testing, and it is clear to us that there is a 20 to 25% drop in performance when you move from gasoline. I'm okay with that. What I object to is the school districts coming out here recently saying that they're all going to do propane buses and the buses are going to last forever and they love propane. And I say BS. I can remember when a school district or when a city ordered some buses, they ordered 10 buses that had natural gas and they had Hercules engines in them. Fully loaded, the bus wouldn't go through the intersection before the red light came back on. Fully loaded, and that's if it was first in line. First in line. So we got one of the buses, and they said, "See if you can make this thing run better." Well, it was programmable software. So we brought this guy in who had to do it, and he says, "Mark, I'm already at 4%. I can't go any higher than that." He says, "At 5, we start popping that engine." And I said, "Okay, give me 4.5. He says, "Okay, I'm going to try it." I said, "Okay." So I talked to the engine guy, and I said, "Hey, we're going to go to 4.5. He says, "Okay." Finally, we got the bus to do 300 feet in 4.5 hours. And I'm being facetious there. But it wasn't the answer. Now, I will agree that propane is a very clean fuel. I will agree that there's no carbon buildup on the pistons. Your exhaust will last forever. I agree all that. Here's what bugs me is we have a reduction in power, so it's going to be a fuel economy issue. In addition to all of that, you're not going to change your oil for any longer, and the carbon dioxide that's emitted from the combustion of both of these. If you take a 1970 Chevelle and you lock yourself in the garage, Tony, how long before you're dead when that thing's idling? Just give me a ballpark.
Probably like, what, 5 or 6 breaths or something like that, you know?
I'm going to say an hour or two. Will you agree with me there?
Look, today, I don't want to lock myself in the garage with a car running like that.
I know. But with today's cars, with the 2012, 2013 cars, you're going to die of starvation before you die of asphyxiation. You're going to starve to death. Now, it's true that you're going to die with carbon dioxide in the absence of oxygen, because this motor is going to consume oxygen and a hydrocarbon and create carbon dioxide. But I just tell you, and I see where we install propane injection on diesels that makes them run really hard and really fast. However, we are mixing 2 hydrocarbons, so you have twice the cost per gallon, because we got the diesel at $3.84, we got the propane at $3 or $4. So I wish they just kind of talk about this is the propane lobby, this is trying to be green, but they don't tell you that there's a reduction in power and performance.
1 minute.
They don't tell you that the cost associated with that, and I got to tell you something, there isn't anybody out there with propane injection or natural gas that hasn't had a very tough time getting their car fixed, because those companies come and go inside of 6 months.
Well, now, Mark, let me ask you this. When we look at propane versus gasoline, okay, as far as the volume, how you contain the fuel itself, in the vessel, okay, there's a big difference between gasoline versus propane or natural gas. You have to have a big vehicle. You have to have a large truck or a bus in order to
carry enough.
Keep that the propane contained. You have to have twice the size of tank just to have the same amount of travel.
Okay, hold that thought. I got to break a break. Just stay right there. 602-508-0960. I'm going to hit it right now.
Intelligent Talk.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Mark Salem, and we're here on 960 The Patriot, KKNT, every Saturday from 10 to noon. And this portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Larry Harker's Auto Repair, 38th Avenue in Indian School. Larry Harker's has been in business since 1967. The current owners, Bob and Ellen, have owned and operated Larry Harker's since 1989. Their technicians have been with them for years and years and years. They are a trusted source of quality repairs for quality repairs at very affordable prices, and that covers Camelback South to the 10 and between the West 101 and the I-17. That area is covered by Larry Harker's Auto, 38th Avenue and Indian School. Tony, we were talking about the volume and the size of the fuel tanks. You finish your thought.
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, look, like you talked, before, it's the BTUs, okay? The difference between gasoline and propane or natural gas, in order to get that kinetic energy, in the combustion chamber, the fuel-to-air ratio, that mixture, has to be really richened. The only way that can happen to get the same miles per gallon, gasoline versus natural gas, propane, is you really got to dump a lot of fuel in there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
Then the volume is twice as much in your tank as far as natural gas,
right,
propane, versus gasoline. Because obviously gasoline's condensed. It's a liquid.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. And what you're saying in kind of a nutshell is, well, we can't, if we add too much gas, we can't vaporize the gas. We can't introduce it as a vapor. And if we introduce a liquid into a motor, it's going to blow it up. So we don't have that problem with propane and natural gas because they are a gas, and they're not going to solidify and condense to a liquid. You're right. And you're right about all that. Here's something else that bothers me, too. They say, oh, the buses are going to last forever. Okay, let's talk about this. We got a school bus. I'm going to give you the motor. I'm going to say to you the motor will go 500,000 miles. On propane, it'll go 500,000 miles. You'll use more propane than gas, but it'll go 500,000 miles. Let's talk about the brakes, the tires, the water pump, the alternator, the air conditioning system, the transmission, the front end, the back end, the steering. Huh? Is propane going to make that whole vehicle love you more? So when we talk about the differences, I'm a green person. It's unusual for you to think. I'm a cowboy. But I've won awards in my repair shop that no one in the United States has won for environmental positions. I'm blessed. My shop is recognized nationwide as being a leader in environmental practices. So it's a little hard to be a cowboy and a tree hugger at the same time, but I'm able to pull it off. Bill, you're up next. Bill, how are you today?
Oh, thank you, Mark. I have a 2010 PT Cruiser, and no signs, no warnings. Just turn the key one morning, and nothing. Okay. Accessories work, lights work, radio works.
Okay.
It's just nothing.
I can fix it. I'm going to help you fix it.
Great.
Okay, I want you to go to marksalem.com and go to FAQ 28. Now, are you close to the car right now?
No.
Okay, here's what this is what 28 is going to say to you. Okay. It's going to say, turn on the headlights.
Right.
Now, they're going to be yellow or they're going to be white and bright.
Okay.
Yellow means low voltage.
All right.
So we need to. And when people hook up jumper cables, they never do this. Everybody out there, when you hook up jumper cables on the car that's dead, I want you to turn on the headlights because you'll know when you've got a good connection when the headlights shine white and bright. Now, I just said the day in the bank, a couple of guys working on a car. I went in, I came out, they were still working on the car. I borrowed $1 million and I still can't. Yeah, I'm just teasing you. So I say to them, what's going on? And he said, well, we can't get this thing to start. So I said, turn on the headlights to the dead car. Nothing. I said, I wiggled the cables. I said, something's wrong with the cables. I went and got mine, put them on, started up. Thank you. Slapped me on the back and left. So the idea is I need them white and bright. Now, let's say that they're white and bright. And when you hit the key, they're going to do one of three things. They are going to stay the same intensity.
Okay.
They're going to change slightly, or they're going to change a lot.
Okay.
Now, when you let go of the key, one of two things is going to happen. The light is going to, when you hit the start position, the light's going to go from white to bright to yellow or out. And then when you let go of the key, the battery will slowly come back on.
Okay.
Or it'll come back on immediately. Depending on how it does on those three, whether it changes intensity, it doesn't change intensity, or it changes a little bit or changes a lot, it tells me whether it's the starter solenoid, the neutral safety switch, the ignition key, or the starter. it's that easy.
I should say I use the test light and check the little wire that goes to the solenoid.
Uh-huh.
Now, my understanding, when I turn the key, power is supposed to be sent to the solenoid through that wire. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And that when the test light would not go on.
Okay. Is it a standard car? A standard?
No, it's automatic.
Okay, I want you to bang the shifter into park.
Okay.
Now, another thing is you can take a long wire and go from the positive, turn the key on, parking brake set, wife standing there with the fire extinguisher, okay, long wire from the positive cable to that terminal that's either at 6 o'clock or 9 o'clock on the solenoid.
Right, right.
And touch it, and it'll start.
Ah.
Okay? Now, what that tells me is that the key sends the power. From the key, it sends the power through the neutral safety switch and then on to the solenoid.
All right.
So that's why I want you to put the key in, turn it on, and I want you to pull it out of park and pull it down to drive and whack it into park and whack it into low and just kind of abuse that shifter. And then put your key in and see if it'll start. But you can diagnose this yourself. You're going to save yourself $100 worth of diagnosis if you can just tell the story. That's it. Just tell the story.
Okay.
Okay?
Wonderful.
Okay.
Thanks so much.
Good luck.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
You betcha. Charlie, you're up next. Charlie, how can
we
I help you?
We lost Charlie,
today?
But we do have Clark.
Clark, you're going to be next, buddy. Go right ahead.
Hey, hi. This gasoline versus BTU. Gasoline is 125,000 BTUs in a gallon, and propane in a gallon is 91 and from a small tank.
Okay, so if my math is right, there's about a 25% difference or more, slightly more than a 25% difference in BTU value. Because I don't have a calculator here, so if anybody can take 91 and divide it by 125, well, I've got a phone here. But, Jeremy, you do that. Jeremy, I want you to take 91,000 and I want you to divide it by 125,000 and tell me what it is. Use your phone.
Or
And that's the difference. We're looking for the refractor of those. I did do pretty good math. But that's exactly my point. Let's just be honest about the whole thing, okay? We want the motors to last a little longer? Okay. We're losing a little BTUs, but we're going to be happy with that? Okay. Well, our gas tank has gone from one size to three sizes bigger? Okay. Then there's going to be the people that are worried about the tank being a big bomb, which I don't agree with, by the way. They wouldn't put these tanks in motorhomes. And frankly, I've investigated hundreds of motorhome crashes. I've never seen a fire or a cracked tank or an explosion caused by a propane tank.
That's what worries my wife.
And frankly, I'll bet that a lot of places you may take your wife have an external propane tank. Like up in Flag, you'll see lots of hotels that have a huge 300, 400, 500 gallon propane tank out back that services.
I don't tell her.
Yeah. And if she's really worried about that, you could like rent a really high end motorhome and take her out on a 3 or 4 day jaunt and not tell her it has a propane tank. And then at the end, you say, you know, you slept right above the propane tank. See,
right,
I don't know
sure.
if that's going to work or not, but you know what I mean.
Another question about this diesel exhaust fuel.
Okay.
Isn't that kind of a Mickey Mouse approach to mission controls? I don't get it. You're buying something to pour in the tank that's extra, or pour in the engine that's extra.
Yeah.
It seems to me a Mickey Mouse approach.
It is. It's a stopgap. It's going to be something that somebody came up with that we're going to inject into the gasoline, and that's going to do something and cool the combustion chamber, which is going to give us a little less NOx or something like that. It's a crazy thing. It'll go away. They just got to figure it out. Here's the deal. Europe there's two possibilities, and the United States is in the crossroads right now. We're either going to go left with propane, we're going to go straight with natural gas, or we're going to stay with gasoline. And diesel, there's a fourth one. Europe has already gone to diesel. They've got cars. I drove a BMW the other day that was a twin-turbo diesel that got 30 miles to the gallon to Los Angeles. And he admitted to 75 to 80. 30 miles to the gallon. And the horsepower and performance of this BMW was second to nothing I've driven in the last 6 months. So I think we're going to follow diesel, but I could be wrong. But thank you very much, Clark. Thank you very much. All righty. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you also by Phoenix Body Works. Now, my friend Greg May, the owner there, he's going to be an advocate for you if you have an insurance claim. You see, he's watching out for your best interest. He's not going to let anybody cut corners that doesn't put you back in the way you were before the accident. Phoenix Body Works is hassle-free, insurance company-friendly. They know how to work with insurance companies, and they do that very well. But Greg and his staff will make sure your car is put back together the right way, on time, and at an affordable price with quality parts. And let me say that again three times. With quality parts, with quality parts, with quality parts. It is important to repair your vehicle the way it was before the crash. And I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for several years, lots of years. And all I ever hear about them is good stuff. People are very happy that they went to Phoenix Body Works. So there at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley, they serve Anthem, they serve New River, and the North Phoenix area, Peoria, Glendale, all those places. So if you need a body shop that's going to take care of you, then Phoenix Body Works. There's something about parts in the mechanical side. We have two different sides. We have paint and body and mechanical. In the mechanical side, it is quite different than the body shop side. The mechanical side, we can install better parts on your car that don't come from a Honda, a Toyota, a Chevrolet, a Ford, a Chrysler, a Dodge box. Trust me when I tell you on your Ford trucks, I can put a part 100 times better on your steering and suspension on the front of your Ford trucks, and that you'll get 3 times the life that you got out of the original one. Now, so we can do better. And in reality, there's no such thing as a Honda radiator. They have the cheapest bidder build your radiator. Let's go to the paint and body shop side. Unfortunately, they're just the opposite. The parts from the dealer are quality parts. Then they have a second and third and fourth tier of parts. That's where you have to be careful. You have to be careful that you're in constant contact with your paint and body shop so that you can be involved in some of those decisions or make sure that they'll make them for you. So there is a difference. Paint and body guys talk about Chevy, Ford, Honda, Toyota parts. That does not apply in the mechanical side. Plus, we can beat the heck out of a price when it comes to dealer versus independent shop. Trust me when I tell you that Goodyear makes about 80% of the belts that are sold in the United States, and you can't go anywhere in this city that you can't find a belt made by Goodyear. They have 100 different sleeves, but it's the same belt. It's the same way with radiators. It's not uncommon for us to pull a radiator out of a box, and it's a Fomoco radiator that has a Fomoco tag on it. Or the other day we pulled a radiator out of a box and it said Mazda on it. And it's because, and it wasn't in a Mazda box. It was in a performance radiator box or something like that. So there's a difference, so just keep that in mind. Okay, the lines are wide open. If you've got a car question, now's the time. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. And I want to remind you, go ahead. I want to remind you that we're going to be here next hour. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back about 3 minutes after. So the lines are open, 602-508-0960. I also want to remind you my email address is mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem.com. I still got that Motor Age flat rate and service manual from 1946. And I've still got Dykes Automotive and Gasoline Engines Encyclopedia dated 1924. Both of them are very old books. And if you want to make a charitable donation and bid on them, you can. And you do that via my email, mark@marksalem.com. Something else. You can email me anytime you want. I don't care. Just give me the year, make, and model and tell me what the symptoms are. I'm kind of interested in what's been done, but not really interested. I just symptoms and what's been done. That'll help me out. All righty, we'll be back right after this. 602-508-0960.
Ladies are...
Buckle up and settle in for a full hour of automotive mayhem with the real car guy, master technician, Mark Salem, where the only two things we can't fix is a broken heart and the crack of dawn. To talk to Mark, call 602-508-0960. That's 602-508-0960. Now, once again, here's Mark.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back 4 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. And we're here for another hour talking about car and car repair and anything else you want to talk about. We're not going to talk politics because I always get in trouble with politics. And I'm not a good marriage counselor, but I've been married a long time. But we can talk cars, and that's kind of what I really know. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by my friend Bob at Quality Transmission. There's hardly a week that goes by that I don't get a call from a happy customer from Quality Transmission. They never say, oh, I bought a transmission and he also did my front end. They never say he exceeded his estimate by a penny. They never say he told me up front what it was going to cost me and he hit the nail on the head. No, they never say this. Let me do the opposite of that. My head doesn't work right now. They never say, he told me it was going to be 18 and it was 4,000. On the contrary, they say, he told me what it was at the beginning and it turned out to be that. And I say, that's experience. So if you're looking for someone experienced, honest, full of integrity, and really, really, really has been around a long time, I think he personally knew Moses, then you have to go to Quality Transmission. They can do clutch repairs, driveline, drive axle repairs, CV boot replacements, but they don't do tune-ups, and they don't do a lot of other things because transmission business is slow. They're covered up. That's Quality Transmission on McClintock, north of University in Tempe. Tony, you had another question or comment about the BTUs, I think, or something else. How can I help you?
Yes, sir. Hey, thank you again. Love the show. Love everything you're doing. You give so much information across the whole gambit of automotive, knowledge.
Yeah, the world.
I really like to know what you think about the new NASCAR thing. I mean, later on, but right now, let's get back to the propane versus gasoline.
Okay.
Gasoline's an on-demand kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, when you're driving from red light to green light, that kind of thing. And I know all about the air horn on the brake. That's really what we should do is coast up to the next stop sign. But look. If the gasoline engine is by far more superior than the propane burning engine, should you not have a stationary, especially with a large size of the fuel containment vessel, the gas tank, or the 500-gallon gas tank,
uh-huh.
be stationary? And those should all be placed, propane, natural gas, at the energy generating stations that heat up those steam generators that produce electricity. That's where those things should be placed versus trying to put propane or natural gas in a car. Because, look, if you did that, like you said, you would have to have a tank that's three times the size. You'd have to open up your trunk and look at a tank that's holding the propane.
Yeah. And here's something else to consider. You're right. Everybody knows what it's like to take a 5-gallon can down to the local propane dispensing places. A lot of gas stations do it. And they know what it's like to get 3.5-4 gallons put in, and it's quick, fast, and easy. Natural gas is not that way. If you plug your car into your natural gas at home, it can take as little as 3 hours and as much as 8 hours to fill your tank, because natural gas is at tremendous pressure, much more than propane. So there's no way that we're going to pull into a natural gas place and fill her up and be gone in 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 minutes, 20 minutes. That's not going to happen. Propane, yeah, it'll be quick. But there's all this other stuff. Again, what I object to is I object to the perception that the school districts are going to put propane in their buses, and they're going to be clean, and they're not going to pollute, and they're going to last forever, and this was a great thing. It was never a great thing. It's if you look at it from a mechanical point of view, the only good thing about propane is there's no carbon buildup in the engine. No carbon on top of the piston. There's no carbon on the head. There's no carbon in the exhaust. But let me ask you a question. Let's flip that around. Here's the question. Mark, how many times have you seen an engine fail because carbon was on the piston or in the head? Huh? How many times have you ever seen that? How many times have you seen someone talk to a doctor? How many times have you seen someone die because they ran out of skin on their feet? Come on. The fact of the matter is, I love propane. I have a propane gas heater in my motorhome, and I have propane gas grill that my wife cooks on outside. And we have
that porterhouse on there.
And the porterhouse, yeah. But, of course, not for my cows. You know, Tony, that I don't butcher my own cows. I take them to the auction. Wink, wink. And then I sell them, and I buy other guys' cows and take them to the butcher. Okay? And don't ever forget that. All righty, Tony, thank you very much, buddy. 602-508-0960, 602-508-0960. If you have a car question or car problem, then let me know. I want to tell you what I told you again the first hour, and that's about Med2Go.com, Med2Go.com. Med2Go deals with people, and they arrange a complete service that sends you somewhere in Mexico or in Central America for weight loss surgery, dental surgery, cosmetic surgery, orthopedic surgery at about 1/5 the cost here. However, the doctors that are going to work on you are board certified. The doctors from the United States have already watched their hands in action. Not too long ago, I talked to Dr. Page, and he and his wife and some of the neighbors went south for some cosmetic work. And I said to him, the big question, you got to know what the question is were the ladies happy? I mean, you got to figure if five went down, one of them wouldn't. He says, no, they were all happy. He says, matter of fact, two of the husbands went ahead and had it done while they were down there. And he says, it's just cheap because there's such a difference. It's such a difference in insurance. There's such a difference in exposure, risk, and all that other kind of stuff. But like he says, we'll arrange the whole thing. We're going to hand you a plane ticket. You're going to hop on the airplane. And when you get off, wherever you're at, wherever you're going, Mexico City, Guadalajara, wherever you're going, when you get off, someone's going to meet you there. Someone that's bilingual. They will shadow you the entire time you're there. They'll take you to your hotel. They'll take you to the hospital for the pre-checkout. They'll take you back for your surgery. Then when you get cleared from there, they'll take you back to your hotel. They'll be with you at your hotel until you're well enough to fly, and then you fly home. So I said, how many crashes have you had, Doc? And he says, not one. He says, actually, one lady had to have a hip adjusted, and she's become our biggest marketeer. She tells everybody what a great deal it was, and somebody mismeasured the hip joint, whatever that means. So that means they put a 327 piston in a 427 engine. So
Ann is next, Ann.
And so that's how it works. All righty, let's go back to the phones. Good morning, Ann. How are you today? What can we do for you?
Well, good morning. I have a 2003 Mercury Marquis.
Okay.
And I want to ask about that motor that pumps up the shocks. I understand that's what that is. Is that true?
Yes, ma'am.
And does it fail? And if so, what do you do about it?
Okay. Let me describe it for you first.
Okay.
There is four airbags holding your Mercury up in the air. There's two front and two rear. More than likely, there's four. And it could be just two back ones. When there's also a valve, and the valve is connected from the underside of the car to the axle, and the valve knows that, let's say that, Ann, you drove the car over to pick up two other couples to go to dinner. When the three people or four people get in the back seat of your Mercury Marquis, the back end's going to settle about 2 or 3 inches. The air pump, the little valve is going to say to the air pump, hey, we just dropped 3 inches, give me some more air. So the pump's going to go, and pretty soon the valve says, okay, quit.
Mm.
Now, that's how it's supposed to work.
Okay.
Everybody jumps to the pump, but in reality, the pump's bad one out of maybe every 5 or 6 times. So give me your symptoms. Do you walk out in the morning and find the front end's on the ground or the back end's on the ground?
No. And actually, I'm not having any trouble with it. It's just that it's louder than it used to be.
Okay.
And so that makes me wonder, is it getting ready to go out? And no. Do I really need it? And why did they go to this sort of a thing instead of regular shocks like cars have always had?
Well, what this does is it's a step in the right direction. It's a step in the right direction. It really is. Because don't forget, Ann, if you put four grown people in the back seat of that Mercury, the headlights are going to be pointing towards the sky unless we can level the car back out.
Mm-hmm.
So and so there's some real benefits. And then the car's going to handle completely different with the butt sitting on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the nose up in the air. So it is a good thing. Don't worry about it. Here's the symptoms, okay? The symptoms are this. You're going to walk out some morning, and the front's going to be sitting on the ground, or the back's going to be sitting on the ground. You're going to start it up and walk away from it, and when you walk back in, everything will be fine. So you drive it all day long or do whatever you're going to do. The next morning, the front's on the ground. About, 3 or 4 out of 10 times, one of the bags has a leak in it.
Oh.
So we're going to spray a lot of soapy water all over the bags. We're going to find the bag. We're going to try to talk you into both rears or both fronts. And we put the bags in it. You're set. Sometimes the valve's bad. Sometimes the pump's bad. But if the pump's bad, usually the whole car's sitting on the ground.
Mm.
But the noise that you're hearing just means that something, the motor's mounted in rubber. And maybe those rubber grommets are gone because your car is almost 10 years old.
Yeah.
So it's worth having somebody just touch it and say, would you touch the pump and wiggle it around and wait, what'd you do to it? Because the noise just went away. And he goes, oh, somebody bent this pipe over here and it's touching the pump, so I'm going to bend it back. Oh, how's that? Yep, that's good. Thank you.
Mm.
That's what you're hoping for.
Okay. All right.
All righty. Good luck to you. Don't worry about it. Though.
1 minute.
Okay.
Don't worry about it. All right. Thank you very much, Ann.
Thank you.
All righty. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. There is nothing I can't answer. My dad used to say this. He said, if Mark, my son, he has to say which son, because there's seven kids. There's two of them we don't e- actually, the boys don't even acknowledge the girls. My dad used to say, if BS was snow, Mark would be a walking blizzard. And so my nickname has been Blizzard for years and years and years, and it came from my dad. But I am a master technician, and I do own a shop, and I do work on cars. So I'm giving you the best advice I can, and you'll notice I am not trying to get you to come to my shop. I'm trying to get you to go to other shops that I've identified in your area that are do really good work. You can find that at marksalem.com. We'll be right back.
Bill Bennett thinks the fiscal cliff deep.
Well, good morning to you. We're closing up the show, but we're still a little ways away from it. We're going to be out of here about 12 noon. And so if you'd like to join us, 602-508-0960. I want to finish up just a thought that I broke away from last hour. We were talking about Med2Go. Here's what I suggest you do. If you need some medical attention and you're worried about the price, you call Med2Go and you say two things. Number one, this is what I need. And number two, can I talk to somebody who's already had that done through you? That's what you do. Now, I've known about Med2Go for a long time. And I trust me, if I needed knee replacement, full mouth restoration, gastric bypass, brain transplant, joint replacement, I don't need breast augmentation, a facelift, or a mommy makeover, or weight loss surgery. I don't need that. I'd go there. There's no question. I have good insurance, but it's going to cost between 50 and 80% less than the United States. So, anyway, this portion. Good morning.
Merv the physics guy.
Merv the physics guy. We have lots of conversations, and I want to tell you I enjoy talking to you.
Well, good. I wanted to bring up some historical data on your gas vis-a-vis propane discussion. But first, let's start here.
Okay.
Fellow that brought the mentioned the data on the BTUs, which are British thermal units. BTUs per volume of gas, that works out to 27.2% difference on gasoline. So gasoline's got that much more.
It's almost a third.
Yes, almost a third. In fact, that was when you asked the question at the first of your program, that was the figure that went through my head based on discussions that I had with a GM engineer and experimental work that he was doing back in 64.
See, it goes back a long time.
Yeah, and it had gone back before that. That GM engineer had worked at Flint as a design and experimental project engineer for GM, worked at Flint, Michigan on things. When I knew him, he was working for Marvel Shevler division of Bork Warner, which was which you'll probably know, the carburetor division.
Yep.
Back in the day, and they were working on what they were calling a torque topper. They were going to inject a certain amount of propane into a gasoline carbureted engine. So they redesigned the carburetor and built all the valves and the linkage and the whatever to do this. That filled his trunk clear full of propane tanks, so he had no more storage the car then became like a Volkswagen.
Yeah, yeah.
It was great if you weren't going anywhere and weren't taking anything with you.
Yeah.
Apologies to the Volkswagen people. But that was a situation. The bottom line in the practical sense of it is, you can't, as we used to say when we, as smart aleck kids, when we saw a certain part of the population that were in extremely tight revealing clothes, we would make a smart aleck remark about you can't put 10 pounds of potatoes in a 5-pound bag.
Yeah.
Well, the converse of that statement's also true. You can't get 10 pounds of potatoes out of a 5-pound bag.
Yeah.
you can't run on this propane and get the same kind of response. I mean, it's a matter of physics as far as physical components or qualifications of what's there, specifications
yeah.
of what I wanted,
yeah.
of what's there, and it can't be done. There are certain things you can't do,
yeah.
And that's one of them. Now, I suppose. By the way, the torque topper thing, it worked. It was fraught with all kinds of problems, and they decided of maintenance problems and adjustment problems because that was in the days of PC, as in before calculators and before computers.
Sure, sure.
We used slide rules then. And so we didn't have the precision to control things that we have today as far as the engine was concerned, but Marvel Sedler abandoned the project finally just simply because it was overfraught and the people to whom it would be interested in trying to market the thing. Their plan A was to try to market this thing on tractors and,
yeah.
and various other gasoline engines, but it just became a the physical limitations.
Okay, I want to tell you about today.
Were too much.
Okay,
and they couldn't get it.
Okay.
So that was kind of my thoughts. I suppose you could take an engine and redesign the thing from the get go to deal with it, but then you've got the availability of natural gas and propane and stations and all of those issues
yeah.
To deal with it. You could lengthen strokes and expand bores and redesign heads, et cetera, to deal with it. But what have you gained?
Okay, well, let me tell you what today is. Remember that trunk full of stuff you talked about?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have this little chip computer no bigger than your wristwatch, and we're going to tell it throttle position sensor. So it's going to know from 1 to 100 where your foot's at on the throttle. It's going to electronically control a ground on a switch that's variable. And it depends on how long you apply the ground on how much the switch opens. We're going to take a line from the propane tank, and we're going to run it into the air intake system. Now, we might even drill a hole in the plastic tubing. We might even mount a little nozzle right there.
Yes.
And all we have to do is inject the propane into the air intake system. And you can put it near the air filter if you wanted to.
2 minutes.
And as you throttle up, if it saw 30%, then it would look at the chart. The little chip would look at the chart and say, 30%, I need to have 7 seconds at 25 pounds of pressure. Bzzz. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So today, obviously, it's all together than before. But again, propane makes it. What's the word I'm looking for, Marv? It complements gasoline.
Mm-hmm.
It complements the explosion of gasoline with propane. However, you're buying 2 gallons of a hydrocarbon instead of one. It's twice as expensive. So putting propane on your gas or your diesel makes it run a whole lot better, run a whole lot faster, but it's going to cost you more money, period.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, thank you for calling in. And
you can't get more out of something than you put into it. That goes for energy and most any other thing you want to talk about.
Yeah, it still costs more to make electricity today, more electricity to make electricity. We haven't figured out how to make electricity and not use. Anyway, when we come back, Dan and Francis, don't go anywhere because you're boom, 1-2 right after this. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, I'm sorry about the delay, but Dan and Francis, you stay right there. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We were talking about propane. We were talking about natural gas, and we were talking about gasoline. This all started because I object to the fact that the school districts are making a big deal about going to propane, when in reality, propane has the bang about 27% less than gasoline. That makes a big difference. We've got school buses out there that the motor may last forever, but the brakes and the tires and the cooling system and the electrical system and the batteries and the windshield wipers, they're still going to die. So this idea that the bus is going to become maintenance-free is not true. It's just not true. So as we move along, maybe they'll ask the people, not me necessarily, but they'll ask people who know to help them make those decisions. And I think I would have probably voted for diesel or stay with diesel. We'll be back right after this.
This is Bob Beal, the
man of the monster. Welcome back, everybody. And just like I promised, we are going straight to Dan because him and Francis have waited a long time. But Dan, the stage is yours, buddy.
Hey, is this Blizzard?
This is Blizzard.
Hey, Blizzard. I lived for 6 years in the Arctic, and people used to call me Polar Bear.
Uh-huh.
So it's good to meet you, Blizzard.
Well, you know, it's the two of us have a lot in common.
They do. We used a lot of vehicles that ran on natural gas up there. And the mnemonic is CNG for compressed natural gas.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering, it took us about 10 minutes to fill a vehicle up. I was wondering if there's companies around the valley that install conversions for compressed natural gas.
You know, one of the things on my Rolodex in my computer that changes, I'm telling you, I promise you, all the time, is who in town can fix either a propane or a CNG, an alternate fuel vehicle. Because those guys come and go like you can't believe. And just about the time that I start getting really good report cards about this guy in Mesa or this guy in Central Phoenix, then they just blow up and dry away. So right now I do have somebody, but I don't have somebody in front of me.
Do they do all of them? They do every single fuel?
You know, some of them do. The answer is yes. But most of them are going to side with one or the other. And I'll tell you what I think eats their lunch. There are so many parts, and they try to inventory all the parts, and I think after a while the inventory is going to eat them up. But you can't have somebody's car out of service for 2 weeks while you order a part either.
You know, I agree with your view on using propane for a large fleet because there's no propane pipelines into the valley.
Yeah.
There's liquid fuel pipelines, and there's natural gas pipelines into the valley. So just for efficiency, I would like to see them use diesel for a large vehicle like that. I agree with you.
And you know something else that kind of bothers me? They're talking about that propane's half the price of gasoline. That kind of wads up my underwear because that means my corner gas station is charging me a lot of money for propane.
Well, you know, I'm with you on that, Blizzard, but it's like cigarettes are very cheap, but it's 99% taxes on it.
And you're right. You're right. You're right. You're right. Well, hey, listen, next time you go north, give me a call and I'll clear the way for you.
I'll save some polar bear steaks.
Okay, buddy. Thank you. Thank you very much, Dan. Francis, you're up next. Francis, go ahead.
I got an easy question for you. For his K&M air filters.
Uh-huh.
I got a 2012 Escape with a six-cylinder. Got 17,000 miles. Would it be a waste of money to put a K&M filter on that vehicle?
Okay, I'm going to give you both sides. There are three filters you could put in there. You can put a K&N, which is washable, cleanable, and oilable.
Uh-huh.
You can put another cleanable air filter, but without the oil. And then you could put in a Fram from a very inexpensive auto parts store. There's a significant amount of money here that's the difference. And first of all, I tell do-it-yourselfers, don't use the oil one because you're going to over-oil it and you're going to cost yourself hundreds of dollars worth of work to clean up the mess you created. Not to mention that we're in a dirty, dusty condition, and obviously oil attracts dust. So it may not be, I mean, New York City, if I were in New York City, I'd have a K&N that was oiled up. I mean, where's the dust going to come from? But Phoenix is a different story. The cleanable ones don't have the oil, but the payout on those could be 150,000 miles before you make your first red cent. I want you to price all three of them, and I think what you're going to find, and I'm just going to use rough numbers here, you're going to find the air filter at Pep Boys is $10. The cleanable one without oil might be $69, and then the next one up there might be anywhere from $79 to $125. I suggest to you that $10, $15 air filter looks pretty doggone good. However, I have a cleanable one in my truck, and so I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. But those, it's really an issue of money as far as I'm concerned. All three of them do a good job.
Okay.
But there's a risk associated. In your Escape, price out what yours costs from Fram or from Wix at one of the auto parts store and see. That'll help you.
1 minute.
Thank you very much.
You betcha. Francis, thank you for waiting as long as you did in bed. We're going to take you after this break. I got to take a break, but I'll be first. You'll be first. And then Ed and John, you're going to be boom, boom, boom. We're going to get all three of you. For the rest of you, if you have an email, if you want to talk to me via email, I answer all the time. If you catch me at my desk, I'll answer you right then. But obviously, you're not going to catch me at my desk on Saturday and Sunday. But I'm there for you, and you can ask me any questions, but just don't forget the year, make, and model, and maybe the motor, because that's very helpful. You can tell me a lot about what your problem is, and I love the symptoms part, but it's the year, make, and model that'll really help me out. So start with year, make, and model, and here's when the symptoms occur, and that's really great. Ben, Ed, and John, you guys stay right there. Anybody else? 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
Jobless.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is the last segment up until 12 o'clock. We're going to be here having fun and frivolity. But before we do that, I need to tell you that this portion, this segment, is brought to you by Action Auto. Action Auto is a full-service shop that's served Deer Valley since 1983. They're located at I-17 in Deer Valley. Action Auto is a family-owned business that prides itself on accurate repairs, proper diagnosis, and reasonable prices. They use factory recommended intervals for your maintenance services they perform. What they're telling you is we don't make that up for you. We look at your owner's manual. We do what your own. That's what they're saying. They are a TechNec service center, and they're A-plus rated at the Better Business Bureau. So give Tom at Action Auto a try, I-17 in Deer Valley. Ben, you're up next, buddy. How can I help you?
Morning. How are you today?
Good. Thank you.
I have 2008 Lincoln Town Car, Signature L.
Okay.
And from the date I bought this car, I have a problem with the driver's side tires.
Okay.
They checked all the bull joints, bushings, everything. The car doesn't pull to the right or left, but the driver's side tire inside of it, it's up just very fast. And they couldn't find what's the problem. I mean, it wastes my tires in 20,000 miles.
Okay. Let me ask you a question, and don't take offense to this. How much do you weigh?
How much do I weigh? 160 pounds.
Okay. Does anybody drive that car that would be 200 pounds or more?
No, sir.
Okay. All right. There's no reason that should be a problem. There is no reason that can't be fixed. The inside wear means the top of the tire is facing inward. Now, it's not uncommon for your town car to wear both front tires on the outside edge because they kind of lay, all cars lay down when you turn left and right. The tires turn left and they kind of lay down. So that outer edge gets worn off more than the rest of the tire. But you have to go somewhere.
But it's only a driver's side.
I know.
The other side is fine.
Well, you know what? You just got to stop going where you're going and go find somebody else. What part of town do you live in?
I live in Glendale, but I went to Jack's Alignment, I went to Sears, I went to Computerized Place. They said the measurements are right, everything is okay. Nothing wrong with the car, but it's still killing my tires.
Okay. Well, somebody has to deviate. See, when we have a specification for your car, and this is a camber situation, the camber will say, I want you to do a half a degree positive plus or minus one. Okay, so they give you a window. These guys drive it up on the lift, they look at the thing, there's a green line there, and the arrow's in the middle of the green line, and they go, okay, it's fine. No, it isn't. If I've got a wear, then I need to go to the extreme of that. So I'm going to go way left to 1.5, or maybe I'm going to go way right to a negative half. But I have to have smart enough. I have to be smart enough. Let me offer you something.
Please.
We have rental cars just for our customers. It's
okay.
$30 a day. Call my shop, make an appointment. For free, I'm going to rack it and look at it and tell you if I can fix it. But you can't measure me against the tire that's on there because once a tire develops a wear pattern, it continues with the wear pattern regardless if it's fixed or not. But I want to tell you something. I have the best alignment guy south of the river. And I taught him myself.
Okay, what's the address?
The address, just go to marksalem.com on the internet. Mark Salem, I want you to call, make an appointment, and if you want a rental car for the day, you tell him to schedule you a rental car. And I know you're coming from Glendale, but that's my offer to you. Yeah. All righty. Thank you very much, Ben.
Okay.
Marksalem.com. Ed, you're up next, Ed. How can I help you?
All right. I appreciate your show.
Thank you.
My son has a 1999 Ford Ranger pickup,
okay.
Four-wheel drive. and when he steps on the brake, the brakes will shutter and like lock up on the front, and it just won't move.
Okay. Okay. And it's a 99.
Yes.
Okay. Here's what I want you to do. Do you know where the front bleeders are on the front calipers?
Yeah.
Okay. I want you to drive around the neighborhood and take a little wrench with you. It's either going to be quarter, maybe 5/16.
Mm-hmm.
Drive it around until it locks up. Then he's going to start the car. He's going to take his foot off the brake. And he's going to turn the wheel all the way to the right. And you're going to open up the bleeder on the left front.
Okay.
One of the two is going to be causing the problem. So if you open up the bleeder on the left front, and his foot's not on the brake now. He can't be on the brake.
Right.
If you open up the bleeder on the left front, squirts at you, then the hose is bad. If you open up the bleeder on the right front, and it just dribbles, that's not the problem. Now, if both of them squirt heavy fluid at you, then the master cylinder or somebody's been messing around with the rod between the brake booster and the master cylinder. You never touch that rod. But the question is one tire locking up and making it look like both, or are both tires locked up? If it's one tire,
it doesn't pull one direction or another, so I assume that it's probably both.
Don't make that assumption though.
Okay.
No, don't. I would agree with you 75-85% of the time, but I don't want you to jump there. And another thing you can do too is drive it on a slick piece of concrete behind bashes. On a Sunday morning when nobody's back there, and go about 10, 20 miles an hour, and then slam on the brakes and get out and look at it. And you'll be able to tell which brakes are working and which ones aren't. But the fact that they're holding on, and you have to sit there and wait for some period of time before you can drive it away again, suggests that there's pressure not being relieved. And the master cylinder's supposed to let pressure loose, and the calipers, as you drive the car and the rotor wobbles inside the caliper, that's what pushes the piston back, and that allows the fluid to be shoved up. But you have a 99, so that thing's 13, 14 years old, and it's possible that one of the two brake lines. But if you think it's both fronts, then replace the two brake lines. Now, if there's bleeders on the master cylinder, you can check it there too. I'm telling you what I'd do if I was working on your car. I'd figure it out by doing just that. It might take me an hour, but I'm going to figure it out by checking the bleeders. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck to you, Ed. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
You betcha. John, you're up next. John, how can I help you?
Hi, thanks a lot. I love your show.
Thank you.
I have a 1989 Chevy C60 truck. It's got a body on it with a crane.
Okay.
Use it for those auto crane. And I want to convert that to propane powered. We put a 100-gallon tank on it, so that's not an issue. The reason is because we don't drive it very far, but we idle it a lot all day, and it just consumes gas like crazy, and it stinks.
Yep.
And so we'd like to convert to propane, and I'm wondering where I can get it done.
Okay. I don't know, but because I'm in the studio, but in my office, in my Rolodex, I know I have somebody that I've been referring to for the repair and installation of propane and natural gas, a CNG. If anybody's out there that has a good record at the Better Business Bureau that is willing to give me some information about who's your vendors are to make sure you're not on COD, to make sure that you haven't been arrested and all that other kind of stuff, then I'm happy to pass your name on. But I want you to email me at mark@marksalem.com. Mark with
okay.
a K at MarkSalem, like the cigarette, .com, and I'll give you the name and phone number I have in my desk. Anybody else,
great.
Too? If you want the CNG propane service guy, then do it that way. Okay, thank you very much, John. And you know what? The reason you're going to use propane is perfect for propane. I would have agreed with you to use it in that environment because it isn't going to stink. It's going to be okay, and there's probably, with your crane and your hydraulics, you probably have an idle bump, and if you don't, it'd be easy enough to put one on there where you just flip a switch and a 12-volt solenoid pops the throttle open and it gives you 1,000 RPM that's what you need. You can put that switch back there on the crane box, but propane is better for what you're doing. It's better for your workers and everything else. So what if it's 27% less BTUs? It's still going to be better for your environment, so I applaud you for that. Okay, Ray, is it Patty? Patty, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning.
I have a 98 Chevy Cavalier that with this cold weather is not starting in the morning. It'll turn over and then stop. And then if I wait 15 minutes and go back out, it'll start.
Okay, now, Patty, when you're saying it won't start, it will crank and crank and crank and crank, but it won't catch.
Correct.
Okay, so it's not a battery or a starter problem. It's a spark or a fuel problem. Would you agree?
I would agree probably fuel. I have the tank full, and it will still do that when it's cold. When it's warm, it's fine.
Okay.
And I hear a little thing in the back, probably where the fuel pump is, making a noise, but I don't know.
Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Here's the deal. When you turn your key to the on position, not to the crank position, but just on, where the wipers would work, you're going to hear that buzz for 3 to 5 seconds.
Right, I do.
Okay, the computer is going to turn on the fuel pump, and after 3 to 5 seconds, if the computer doesn't see the engine running, it shuts the fuel pump off. So the fact that you hear the buzz and hear it goes off is great, because we don't have to track down the power and the ground to the pump. We only have to listen, and you can tell us it's running. Here's what we have to do. We have to put a pressure gauge up underneath the hood, and we have to determine what the specification is. And I'm thinking on yours, you probably have a throttle body. And if you've got a throttle body at 98, you may not. You could have port fuel somewhere between, I'd say, 20 to 35. 20 to 38, depending on what motor and what fuel injection system you have. So chances are that it's a sub-pressure problem, that we're close but no cigar. Chances are we need 20 and you're at 19 or 18 or 17. And the temperature is causing, and when there's not enough pressure, then we don't service the engine with as much fuel as we want to, and in the cold weather, it would create that problem. If you know anybody that works on cars, you can say to them, would you be so kind as to let me borrow your fuel pressure tester? Now, most shops will do this. They're going to charge you like $75 or so. They're going to put a $200 or $300 gauge on your car, then they're going to bring it through the crack of the hood, and they're going to tape the pressure gauge to the outside of your window. And they're going to say, Patty, tell us what's going on. And you're going to say to them, you know what? After it gets running in the morning and the weather warms up, it starts fine, and when I turn on the key, I wait till the fuel pressure stabilizes, and during that period of time, then the pressure stabilizes at 21 pounds. But in those cold mornings, when I turn the key on, the pressure doesn't get much more 18. And I look in my book, and I know that 20 is the what I want. So I say to you, okay, we're going to put a pump in it. We're going to put a pump because yours is not making the pressure we need. And pressure equals volume. So if I need 2 bucketfuls of gas in the engine at 40 psi, then I'm not going to get 2 bucketfuls of gasoline at 30 psi. So their pressure and volume will go hand in hand. But most of us will let you use the gauge for a day or two. Most of us will charge you for that. And we also, it's important, you can't park the car anywhere where someone can steal it. So sometimes you have to open up the hood and put it underneath the hood and then slam the hood and then go on about your business. So that's what happens. But that's what needs to happen. You'll expect to pay $75 to $125 for someone to diagnose it. And at that point, then they'll give you an estimate. But I'm thinking 50, 60%, I'm right, it's probably a pump. Especially not knowing how many pumps it's had since it was 98. So that would be a difference.
I think it's had one.
How many miles are on it, Patty?
211.
Okay, you're way past number two. you're way past number two. That might be a record for a 90-mile Chevrolet, one pump in 200,000 miles. Let me ask you a question. Does it burn any oil?
Yeah.
Okay, does it leak any oil? Okay. Is it something that causes you to make blue smoke down the road as you drive?
No.
Okay. All right. Patty, you can drive that thing till it throws in the towel. More than likely, if you've owned it a long time, you just set the key and the title on the dash and walk away from it. It's kind of like a disposable cigarette lighter. You know, after you've got your $1.79 out of it, it doesn't owe you anything. Really. And that's what I do on my trucks. Literally, I drive them until the cost per month is way, way down. And usually 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I'm under $100. And so the question is, hey, Patty, if I bought you a brand new car in 10 years and you only paid me $100 a month, how would you like that? And, of course, you would take it like everybody else would take it. So that's right. What I do is I work towards $100 a month. Thank you, Patty. Anybody else, if you have a question, mark@marksalem.com, mark@marksalem.com. Don't forget, there's two things. Number one, I'm going to live to be 90 years old, and on my tombstone it's going to say, he never washed his hands after he went to the bathroom. Number two, my dad, all my life, called me Blizzard. And this is what the rest of the sentence sounded like. If bull manure was snow, Mark would be a walking blizzard. So that's the reason I got Blizzard. I'll see you next week.